Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Third and long. Wilson floats it way upstairs. Williams, he's got it! Touchdown! Mike Williams, the newest Steeler, scores!
I kind of had an idea. It wasn't a line for me to be over there. He told me to go over there, so I kind of had an idea that the ball was going to be up. So I ran the route and just checked the air and caught the ball.
The magic of Russell Wilson, 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills. Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Mike Williams wasn't exactly sure what he was supposed to do on that play, but Russ coached him through it and then threw a beautiful moon ball to him. It fell out of the clouds into his hands, and it was manna from heaven for Steelers fans and for us to get to 7-2, still have a hold of first place going into this massive matchup against the Ravens on Sunday, which we'll be previewing all week on the show beginning tomorrow, and Mike Tomlin addresses reporters at noon. Looking forward to that one. Mike Williams, I think, in his addition, what he was able to do in just one game, part of what has spurred this conversation everywhere today about taking the Steelers seriously and looking at them as a Super Bowl contender, because up until Mike Williams' addition, I could say, okay, they've got this stat that says they can compete for a Super Bowl. They've got this defensive trend going for them. Mike Tomlin has won one before. I mean, you can construct arguments every which way, but it would have been really hard to offer a retort to someone who just said they only have one legit wide receiver. They only have one legit wide receiver. Calvin Austin's a nice player who's caught a couple of touchdown passes, but there's really nothing beyond George Pickens.
What happens when they take Pickens away would have been the basic argument.
And now you've got someone who, before he even knows the playbook, is already putting his fingerprints on a game to the point where his catch won them the game. And just like we had to ask about Russ and about Justin Fields, when we acquired these players who were given up on by the teams that let them go, well, how much does this guy really have left? With Russ, we're finding out he has plenty left. With Justin Fields, we're finding out, even though he's not as good as Russ, probably more a failing of the Bears. Look what they're doing with Caleb Williams now than what Justin Fields can't do as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And then with Mike Williams, it's the whole relationship that turned sour with Aaron Rodgers. And we played a clip last week on this show of Mike Williams talking about joining the Steelers and throwing shade at Aaron Rodgers on leadership. I can't wait to play with a quarterback who's a leader. There's a leader here. Mm-hmm. We played that clip and I quoted it, and some people came back and said, you're trying to make something out of nothing. He's not actually going after Aaron Rodgers. He is just building up Russell Wilson. The two things don't have anything to do with each other. Mm-hmm. Today we got our answer. Mike Williams sent out an Instagram post of him celebrating the touchdown, and one of the hashtags he used was red line. Red line is the thing that Aaron Rodgers crushed Mike Williams for. He said he needed to go up the line there on that interception that lost them the game against Buffalo. So Mike Williams is now, and I love this, he is throwing it back in Aaron Rodgers' face. You didn't want me. You didn't believe in me. You didn't trust me. You wanted to throw guys you've been friends with going back to your Green Bay days like Davante Adams and Alan Lazard. And now I've been freed from New York and I'm in a place where I can be productive again. As crazy as this is to say about a guy that's won four MVPs, only one Super Bowl, beat the Steelers, It seems like it was an Aaron Rodgers problem and not a Mike Williams problem.
He looks cooked as hell. I watched that game. He sucked.
They scored 6 points.
You know what else I was doing? I was briefly
Mike
driving.
Mike Williams scored as many points as the Jets yesterday.
I know. Thank you. I tweeted that, and apparently I was told so did 150 other people yesterday, but that makes it no less fun to point out. I did something I know you're going to love here, Chalooch. I had the car. I was in the car. I had the radio on. I have all the games. You know, I have that other thing that you shouldn't be listening to right now. And Craig Wolfley's brother,
Ron Wolfley,
is the color voice
at the Super Bowl.
He is the color voice of the Arizona Cardinals. Dave Pasch is their play-by-play man. Of course, the other half of the late Bill Walton college basketball trio or duo. And Wolf was having an absolute field day because Kyler balled out yesterday. But they were just pointing out that Rodgers is slow. He can't get to his spots. He can't get anything on a lot of these throws. If you pressure him, he just looks toast. Given the way Cousins looked for the Falcons against the Steelers early this year in game one and how pathetic he looked, I know they lost yesterday too, but I would have guessed he would be the guy who would be completely cooked. It's Rodgers. It ain't Cousins. Rodgers looks like he's toast. Like I know he cooked the Texans in the second half, and occasionally greatness will still pop up. Like Ben in 2020 in that Colts game, he just turned it on all of a sudden. We thought, okay, maybe he's getting it back. No, he was pretty much on the way down. Rodgers appears to be toast. And I don't think those guys really feel like playing on a team where Aaron Rodgers is calling all the shots. How could you? Because he's not doing all the stuff that justifies calling all the
Russell
shots.
Russell Wilson is doing for the Steelers what Jets fans thought and what national sports media people thought Aaron Rodgers would do for the Jets, which has completely revitalized the organization. The Steelers, I think, are Super Bowl contenders because they've plugged this hole with, I think, a useful player in Mike Williams. We saw with their defense, even though they gave up 27 points, completely took away Jaden Daniels' run game, took an offense that was averaging close to 400 yards, held it to 245, which was a season low, season-high 6 punts by the Commanders. You know, they gave up a touchdown because of the fake punt, which is a separate issue, and that probably should have been maybe they give up 20 points in the game or 23.
How many good drives
like
did they allow? I would say 2 objectively good drives by the Commanders. I guess 3 if you want to count their field goal.
And how
drive.
About this, just as an aside, ESPN this morning, I was at the gym, and one of their talking points on this game was, did the Commanders get screwed by the refs? I mean, you want to talk about trying to come up with an asinine topic off of a game where it doesn't fit.
Wait, you had ESPN on? I just assumed they would be talking Jets-Cowboys only.
They asked the question, did the Commanders get screwed by the officials yesterday? So go through it. Like the Zach Ertz play, if the official says first down on the field,
I think it's a
first down. And it was, the spot on the field was atrocious. I still, gun to my head, don't think he got it. And if he didn't get it, and it was by like less than an inch. I mean, it was very, very close.
It's one of the closest plays in real time that I've ever seen.
So let's say they got screwed because they got the call wrong because the initial spotting was so horrific. Where else did they get jobbed? After Warren fumbled, Watt got tackled in the end zone by Trent Scott. They didn't call a safety there.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been Steelers ball and 2 points for them.
Oh, by the way, Warren fumbled and Gene Steratore said it easily could have been forward progress.
I was just going to bring that up. And he said, well, he's fighting. He's not fighting forward.
When a guy is fighting but is going backwards, they blow the whistle dead. It happens to Najee.
Sideways.
It happens to Najee regularly.
Forward progress is he's still moving towards the end zone, not to the sideline. So I still think Jalen's got to hold on to the ball, but ultimately I agree with Gene on that. Like that was probably like a 50-50 call that went Washington's way. I would be the first to say if the Steelers, you know, I would honestly in this situation be completely transparent and like with the Raiders game, we said, man, the Steelers did get the gift of some of these calls here.
I didn't think they were gifted a bunch. I know that there's a sentiment on Twitter that they get a ton of these calls. I didn't feel like that happened. I thought they got fortunate on the Ertz play, but that to me is wiped out at least by 2 points coming off the board for a holding in the end zone, and then by the fact that they might have been up 28-27 and not needed a Mike Williams touchdown if they called the forward progress.
And another reason why I feel like they have a Super Bowl capable team, is we don't know when Alex Highsmith is going to come back. Now, Dulac is saying it's a multi-week thing.
But no IR.
Yeah, no IR. So he won't play against the Ravens. And because of such a short turnaround, he won't play against Cleveland. So we know he's out for the next two games. Let's hope he's back for the Bengals game. Highsmith, I was wrong. I said Nick Herbig was better than him. That has turned out to be a ridiculous claim. But I still like Herbig. And how about Preston Smith?
Yesterday, came in and made a play.
22 snaps. Sacked Daniels. Pressured him a few times. Was in the backfield. Again, brilliant move by them.
A sack, two tackles for loss.
I don't know the complete backstory there of who called who, but they must have found out, I would think, through Smith's agent that he quietly requested a trade there, and Khan pounced on it. I think there was a lot of teams out there that if they knew that here's a veteran pass rusher that you can acquire for a seventh-round pick, you can get him for a song. Even if you don't have a need at the position.
They would have just done it to fortify.
Just do it, exactly.
They did it. They get a guy who not only, it's not like he's, here's the other thing about him, I was trying to think of this. It was Malik Reed, not Marquise Reed. When you said that earlier, that's
Marquise
why I
Reed
like.
Played at Robert Morris. Yeah, he's a very good basketball player.
I was like, what the hell? Correct me if I'm wrong, Malik Reed, when he came over, he had been kind of pushed out of their rotation, right? He was a rotational linebacker for them.
Yes.
The Preston Smith difference for me is he was starting. It's not like he was completely phased out in Green Bay. He was still like an active part of what they were doing.
I think he got 49% of the snaps in their last
game. Okay, so that's like, that's basically you want to call a guy like that a starter? He pretty much is one. So there's no ramp-up period. There's no rustiness that he hasn't been getting run. You're putting a guy in your lineup who has to learn your defense, yes, and learn what his responsibilities might be, but he's used to playing a reasonably high volume of snaps. They've got a lot of things to like, and I hope that's being reflected in my voice because it's the most optimistic, I swear to God, this is the most optimistic I have felt about this team since they beat Brady here in 2018.
Let's see if other listeners agree with that optimism. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Carl in Natrona Heights. Hello, Carl. Carl, are you there?
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi,
what
Carl,
do you got, Carl?
Just wondering, just speculation from this. The easiest way to get in Mike T's doghouse is ball security.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Jalen's fumble is going to knock him down on playing time? Because he's got a lot of jump, and I think we need him in the offense.
My short answer is no, I don't think long-term it will unless he does it again or two times. I think it very clearly for the rest of that game got him put in the doghouse, but not long term, in my opinion.
I agree with Chris on that, Carl. I think he's on double secret probation right now. I think if he does it again, he could be in hot water.
Lutarski, 0.0.
Because of the way Najee's run, and they clearly like Patterson. So I think he would go down to third on the depth chart if he continues to have fumble.
He definitely was better than Najee, though, up to the fumble yesterday. Najee was not having a great game after we were all wondering if they made a mistake on the fifth-year option.
I thought that Jalen Warren looked like himself is the best way I can put it in that game. I thought he looked like the Jalen Warren of 2023. Brian's in Brookline. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Andrew. Talked to you up the fire alarm fire. U.S. Marine Corps, we were talking about Camp Pendleton.
That's right.
Thank you for all you do for us, and thank you guys, Chris, too. Thanks for what you guys do, your station does. We really appreciate your support.
You bet, brother.
Thank you, ma'am.
Also, a couple things. I'll just toss on a couple topics. I didn't mind the punt return or the fake punt. I didn't mind it. I just didn't like the field position that we were at. I'm very inspired by Arthur Smith. Matt Canada could never do this. We could never score three touchdowns in a game. We could never score 28 points. And I'm very Arthur Smith, to me, gets a game ball because just his – he knows his players, and he's using his players properly. Two other small topics. I didn't think Cordell Patterson had some pop. He looked slow yesterday on his kick returns. He looked lethargic. Like he had that one at the end of the game, but he didn't look like he had a lot of little bursts.
No, I think that part of his game is gone. I think it's just getting by on the savvy of where the hole is.
I was going to say, yeah, he knows how to read his blocks and set up his blocks.
Brian, that run he had before they got the hard count first down,
it's the only reason that play was possible.
He got them into fourth and one on that play. So I got to give him credit, even though he's not someone I think is going to take it to the house. Although he did that in the preseason and he had a long run against the Chargers, but overall I agree with you. He's not someone that I think is going to like go for a 60-yard touchdown return anytime
soon.
Here's
one point of concern that I've seen watching the whole game and watching it back actually is Terry McLaurin ate Joey Porter's lunch. Joey could have a bad game, first one in a long time, but he got beat pretty bad by Terry McLaurin.
And the penalties.
Were bad. I didn't think Joey Porter Jr. Did he have one in the second half?
A penalty?
Yeah. Were all of them in the first half? Because
I'd
that
have to
was
go
on,
back and look.
That was on the broadcast. They were saying at halftime they're going to have to talk to him about what he's doing as far as being very handsy because these refs are calling it tight.
That officiating crew has a penchant
it's known,
for that.
Yes, yep. It's known for that. What was that, Brad Rogers or whatever? I thought that, I'm biased because I've thought Terry McLaurin for a long time is one of the best and most underrated receivers in the league.
And every dog has his day. I mean, you go up against these number one wide receivers, eventually you're going to lose to one.
I'll tell you what. I think Porter, I've been pretty complimentary of Porter, so I don't think this is unfair. I thought he had a very bad game. I also thought the penalties got in his head early. Like, I just thought it mentally threw him off his game. That's a mentally demanding position. I think it was in his head that he was wondering, like, am I going to get called for another one? He was frustrated, all that stuff.
I mean, if they had lost the game, okay, the fake punt thing would be battleground number one for people going back and forth on that. And then I think the other thing people would get to very quickly would be guys in the secondary, Joey Porter Jr. and Minka. I think that one of the guys who ends up...
The big play to McLaurin happened because Minka made a feeble attempt at a tackle. It was bizarre.
And I'm not saying he had any other... He didn't really have any other obvious errors in the game after that.
But you're paying him $18 million so that he'll have obvious positive impacts,
yes,
Pony.
I think that ends up being a talk... I mean, this is not a joke. I've had people, multiple people, during the game yesterday and after the game, even today, texting me, what are they going to do with Minka next year?
He hasn't done anything. And when is the last time that he made a play that either like forced a turnover? Has he fallen on a fumble maybe? Maybe.
No.
No, no fumble recoveries, no forced fumbles, no interceptions. I'm trying to even think of tackles for loss and stuff.
He's not down near the line of scrimmage doing that stuff, Chris, so he's not getting tackles.
They're backing him off 25 yards off the line of scrimmage. I get it. You want like him out there in center field. He's making... Unless they're going to tell you that teams would otherwise be taking liberties with them over the top.
They would tell you that. That is exactly
is that worth,
what Terrell Austin would
then
say.
Is that, hold on then.
Is that,
is
worth,
that worth
$18
million?
Million?
How about I just draft a free safety and say, guess what you're doing? Third round pick. You are just staying 20 to 25 yards off the line and trying to break on the football. Come up if it's obvious a guy is getting to the second level and make a tackle.
I don't think Minka would be a fan of it if he wasn't getting compensated the way that he is for it.
He definitely wouldn't be because he'd say, you're preventing me from getting compensated because I'm not doing anything.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I think he'll sacrifice for the team, but I think he'd also look at it like, man, there's so many things I can do and you're just...
You have me out here. Like, I'm only saying this because I'm so like bullish about this team. I don't think they would ever actually do this, but I'm just going to choose to hope that they have been leaving him in reserve a little bit for this division gauntlet here. Like, hey, we got a couple surprises cooked up for Jackson and for Burrow, and it involves this guy.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.